King County councilman from the Seattle area, also from Seattle, also former state legislator. Joe, thanks for taking the time to be here this morning.
You bet. Good morning, John.
All right. So let me start out by pointing out to the listeners that in the last dozen years, inflation's gone up 36%. Metro's tax revenue has gone up 56%. But Metro's operating costs have gone up 80%. And you're looking to pay for that by dramatically escalating the license tab fees. Why that instead of paying more attention to the spending side of the ledger, Joe?
Well, John, Metro has done both over the last 5-6 years. Since the Great Recession started, our forecast and actual revenues from sales tax, which largely supports Metro, there's been a difference of $1.2 billion in the system over that length of time that we'll never see again.
But at the last 2 years, you set a record for sales tax revenue. You got more sales tax revenue in 2013 than you've ever received before. This year, you are estimated to beat that record by another $30-plus million. So you would be, again, by more than $30 million, setting a new plateau. Sounds to me like the recession's over, yet you're saying if people don't triple their license tab fees, they don't even get existing bus service.
We have a $60 to $75 million gap, close to a $75 million gap in Metro service. And indeed, we can't provide the level of service that our own strategic plan says we should be providing now. We're short 500,000 hours of service now from what we should be providing. And without filling the gap, yes, we are facing cuts of approximately 550,000 more service hours.
So
almost a 16% cut in service that would affect 80% of our riders.
Yeah, but you know what? They're pulling back on that number, aren't they? They were saying there would be 17% cut, Representative or Councilman McDermott, but now they're saying, well, it's not going to be that much after all because we've got more revenue than we expected from the aforementioned sales tax. But we're not going to tell you how much until the ballots are counted.
John, it's about $30 million more than our previous forecast, but that is still far short of our operating gap. Meanwhile, during the Great Recession, we have not purchased buses as often. We've reduced our reserve funds. And so to be a prudent operating agency, we need to replenish those as well.
Who says you guys are prudent? You guys have the third highest operating costs per rider in America? You call that prudent?
John, you're aware of the work we've done over the last 6 years in reducing FTE by over 100, by cutting over $800 million from Metro's budget, including over $100 million in annual savings. We have tightened our belt. We have looked. And is there room for more efficiency? You bet. And I'll partner with people in finding that and working toward that. But right now the question is, how do we address an over $60 million gap in our operating budget? And do we want to face, as a community, cutting almost 16% of our service and impacting 80% of our riders? You know, one of the most interesting facts I've learned since joining the council is that 90% of Metro riders have a car at home. They choose to take Metro because either of parking costs downtown or of convenience, whatever works for them. They prefer to take Metro Transit. And if we institute these cuts, if Prop 1 isn't adopted, the estimate is that 30,000 more cars will be on the road every day. So this will affect people, whether they're Metro riders or whether they're drivers in our community. And I think we all know that we don't need 30,000 more cars on the road every day.
So I haven't heard you say a thing about reducing management. We need to cut seniors. We need to cut senior citizens. We need to cut bus routes. You're not talking about cutting management,
I mentioned cutting over 100 FTE throughout Metro and reducing our budget by over $100 million.
And how many people work for Metro?
$800 million during the Great Recession.
How many people work for Metro?
I don't have a figure in front of me.
So what good is the 100 FTE number if we don't know how to measure it against total FTEs at Metro?
Metro does, John. I don't have the figure in front of me.
Okay. We'll find it, and we'll get it to our listeners so they can measure this.
Thank you.
But in the last dozen years, you have raised the sales tax twice. You got authority from the legislature to increase property taxes. And you got a further authority from the legislature to impose the $20 license tab fee.
A temporary two-year charge that actually was only extended to King County because the legislature recognized the strong reform work we had done in King County.
Without a vote of the people.
That's true, and that's expiring this year. That's why we're going to the people with Proposition
1. And what you told the people at the time is, we need to impose this $20 fee until we get past the recession, until, you know, the economic times get better.
What we said at the time very clearly was that we needed the temporary two-year charge while the legislature addressed a permanent transportation and transit package. Mm-hmm. And given that the legislature has not done that, we had to look at the limited options we had as a county to give the people a choice of continuing current levels of service or facing these draconian cuts.
So follow me on this, Joe. And again, if you're just joining me, I'm talking with King County Councilman Joe McDermott. You have raised the sales tax twice in the last dozen years. You have imposed an increase in property taxes. You've got the $20 license tab fee. That's four taxes. And you're saying that if you want the same level of Metro service, you now have to triple that $20 license tab surcharge?
Which is a small part of Metro's budget. It's not that we're tripling Metro's budget, but indeed, Proposition 1 would fund not only Metro Transit, but roads throughout King County, too. The revenue raised by Proposition 1 would address the gap in Metro. 60% of the revenue would go to Metro, and the other 40%, you know, would go to roads across King County as well.
And all this while you've got the third largest operating costs per rider in the country, and this initiative does nothing to bring that number down.
And we've worked aggressively on efficiencies, and I'll continue to partner with Metro and the public to do that.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like to me that you're going to the people because you don't want to be aggressive about controlling costs, that it's easier to go to the public than it is to tell the unions, you know what, you're the third highest paid in the country, great benefit package, but we can't keep going back to the people for increases, tax increases. You need to give a little.
You know, our salaries are ranked third in the country, but 13th when you factor in the cost of living across the country. But I really don't think it's I really don't think the debate we want to have is whether we should be paying our drivers, full-time drivers, an average of $66,000, or when you factor in part-time drivers, the average wage is $51,000. The real question is, don't we want to pay our drivers for the important work that they do? They're driving buses throughout our city with 100 passengers on them at a time. And I think these people should, we expect a lot of them in safety and service, and I think they should be fairly compensated.
Now, what percentage of Metro buses out there, Joe, have 100 people on them?
You know, John, at this hour, I'm going to go stand.
Okay, at this hour.
John,
at this hour.
At this hour, I'm going to go stand on my sea line to get to the courthouse this morning, and I'll be standing on a sea line to come home this afternoon.
Okay, but you get my point.
I hope you get mine as well.
Yeah, I do, but okay. I think that you're looking at people as, you know, an ever non-exhaustible source of revenue for Metro, when instead of doing some serious cost containment work. I mean, even the Municipal League dinged you guys for the mismanagement of your cost structure. And I mean, the Muni League ain't the Republican Party, Joe.
And we have support from across the community for this measure, including the Seattle Chamber, the Downtown Seattle Association, Sierra Club, HopeLink, Senior Services. We have broad community support. People recognize the work we've done, the work we'll continue to do, and the service that we provide throughout the community.
But you see, those are interest groups that are acclimated to government as it exists, and I think a growing number of people are saying, you know what, forget it. Because where I'm coming from here, Councilman, is I'm looking at the growth of bureaucracy and the growth of union power, where from 2010 through 2013, drivers got a raise every year but one. And I sure didn't, and I bet you didn't, and I bet 90% of the people listening to you and me didn't. And that's
because the Great Recession isn't over yet.
Oh, but, well, it didn't get in the way of the raises, though, did it?
Do you want to fairly compensate people that we put lives in their hands every day? John?
It's not fair if they don't get a raise? Do you know how many people listening to you and me got a pay cut?
I do, and I know people in my own family and beyond who are without work.
And you want them to now dig into their pocket for more money?
At the same time, I think that we want to make sure that we're fairly compensating drivers that we expect a lot from. I think it's also important to mention that we have doubled the fares for Metro as well to maintain fare box recovery at 29%. The target nationally is 25%, and we're at 29%. So I think it's
okay. The Seattle Times
talked about the efficiencies work we've worked on, but the fare box recovery we expect from the system, and what we will continue to do.
The Seattle Times reported that 18% of Metro's budget comes from the fare box.
And if you want to include capital extensively, but the numbers used across the country have 25 as a target, and us at 29.
Right. When you add Metro to Sound Transit, we are now spending almost 2 cents of every, sales tax transaction for transit service. Doesn't that strike you as too much?
I think we started too late, John.
But that doesn't answer my question.
I don't think it's too much. Had we made investments earlier in this region, we might not be paying as much today. But in order to provide the transit that this region relies on, needs, and has a growing demand for, we had more boardings in Metro last year than any other year in our history. And so I think the public is using transit, recognizes its value, and as our region continues to grow, we continue to need a stronger backbone of transit service throughout our region.
Okay, so if your inflation rate, if your revenue rate is 20 percentage points higher than inflation over the last dozen years, inflation's 36%, your revenue's up 56%, why are your operating costs up 80%?
John, we're compensating our drivers, and at the same time, we've been reducing reserve funds and capital investments in order to maintain the current level of service we have.
Okay, but most people during a recession had to pull back.
And many of them pulled back by not driving to work, by taking the bus. We've actually seen increased ridership in Metro.
Metro over the last dozen years has only increased ridership 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a 20% increase in ridership, you have a 56% increase in revenue, and you still have these costs of an 80%, and you're here on the show with me saying, yeah, well, fine, that shows how well we've controlled costs, but that tells me, Councilman McDermott, you haven't controlled costs.
The legislature recognizes the cost control we've done, and so has the Municipal League when they've reviewed the Transit Task Force work and recognized us for that achievement.
Okay, the central point that I wanted to make, Councilman, is that the growth of government and bureaucracy, the growth of union power, is diluting money not only from services, but also draining money from taxpayers. See, that's what I think the reality is outside government, where people are seeing they're taking more of my money, we're getting less service, but the unions and the management keep growing. I'll give you the final word, sir.
I need to urge people to return to vote yes and return Proposition 1 ballots postmarked by tomorrow to preserve Metro service so we don't have decimating cuts affecting our students, our seniors, and people getting to work every day. Please make sure you get your ballot marked yes and return by tomorrow.
Okay. On that score, you and I are in complete and total agreement. Get those ballots in the mail, postmarked tomorrow. Thanks very much for being on the show, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
All right, that's King County Councilman Joe McDermott from Seattle joining me here. Talk Radio 570 KVI. Yes, your phone call is welcome at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Outside King County, 1-888-312-5757.
Passion, principles, politics. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Okay, by the way, we've got the numbers there on full-time employees. I want to once again thank Joe McDermott. Joe is a former legislator and is incumbent King County Councilman from Seattle, including a place I grew up, West Seattle. And it's kind of him to take the time to be on the show. However, one of the things that he said was that Metro had reduced its full-time equivalents, its FTEs, by 100. So I said, well, out of how many employees? And he said, well, I don't have that figure with me. I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what, we'll look it up. Senior Chief Executive Producer Philip G. Vandervoort III gets the numbers within minutes for me. There are 4,000 full-time employees at Metro, or to be exact, 3,968. So round it up. 4,000 employees, and they are boasting about reducing that number by 100. That is reducing, 0.25% of your workforce? 0.25, and that's something to be proud of? That's a sign that you've taken cost containment seriously? Really? It reminds me, you know, I was talking with a co-chair, Rob Johnson, of the Prop 1 campaign late last week, and he said, yeah, you know, how much should a bus driver get? The average bus driver gets $50,000. I said, well, is that full-time or is that full and part-time combined? Oh, that's just, you know, all drivers. I said, what's full-time? Well, you just heard the councilman say the full-time driver is $66,000, plus, of course, a great health plan, plus, of course, a great pension plan. And, you know, when they... I got to say this, when they play with numbers like this, doesn't it show the weakness of their hand? When they say, well, we've cut employees by 100. Really? Out of how many? Oh, I don't have that number, but we cut them by 100. So we find the number. They've cut 100 out of 4,000. And then, well, the average driver only gets 50,000. Really? Full-time? Oh, no, that's full-time and part-time together. Well, how much does a full-time driver get? I don't have that number with me. That's what Rob Johnson said last week. It's infuriating because they know they don't have a good answer if they give a full answer. So they give you a part answer. Let's real quickly go to Joe in Covington. Hello, Joe.
Hi, I'm a paratransit driver. Do not drive the fixed routes. Those are transit drivers.
Yeah.
We drive the disabled that cannot ride regular Metro due to physical, mental, or age-related statuses.
Right, okay.
For us, it would cut down on how many people we were able to pick up and take to things like dialysis or doctor's appointments if it fails. Saying that, I am not a proponent of this because we're contractors. We work for less money. We have a safer record than the regular fixed route does. And I make about half, even though I've been doing this 6 years, I make half of what a regular fixed route driver does.
How come?
And our management cost is slim to none. Most of our cost goes into drivers and fixing our vehicles. The county owns our vehicles. but the drivers ourselves, we're contractors. And Metro has repeatedly turned down our request to hire our own fixed route drivers.
How come?
Because of the unions. All of King County's Metro drivers work for King County.
Right.
They're not contractors like we are. And we have been trying for years to get King County to contract out their fixed route rides or the drivers, and we can do it for literally less than half the cost.
Are you serious?
But
half the cost?
They're not willing to do it.
And again, you are a current paratransit driver. That is to say, you are contracting with King County to go off the fixed routes to pick up the disabled who need a ride. That is a contracted service, and you are convinced as a paratransit driver that if they contracted out their bus service the way they do their paratransit service, they could cut their costs in half?
Their operating costs, definitely, because I've been doing it 6 years. I make about $33,000 to $34,000 a year versus, and I'm full-time, and I usually work between 50 to 60 hours a week.
Now, let me ask you this. Why not just become a bus driver and double your pay for fewer hours?
I don't want to deal with the union contracts that they have. To become a full-time bus operator, you must work the first 2 years as part-time, and you get the worst routes ever. With paratransit, I get to work with an awesome company that takes care of us, has backed us up, and I am able to get a better route. Even though I have no idea where I'm going to be going until that morning, unlike a fixed route driver who gets a set amount of turns, you know, go to this bus stop, follow this route, I'm told, go to Covington, pick someone up, go to Maple Valley, pick someone up, then take them down to Tukwila, pick someone up in Tukwila, take them down to Federal Way. That is literally my first three rides of the day, today.
Okay. And you're really helping someone who needs it.
Yes. One of these people that I'm picking up is going to be going to dialysis. Another one I happen to know is going to her doctor's appointment. The other one, I have no idea where she's going, but, you know, I take people to school, to work, to families. I take them to events. It's a great service. It's a shared ride service, so you don't always get direct rides, but I help people live their life that can't normally go anywhere.
Do you enjoy your work? Sounds like you do.
I love my work. I don't enjoy dealing with Metro at all, but I enjoy it. I get to help out people. Just the other week, I was driving a lady who was 94 years old going to see her grandkids. Nothing can beat that.
Wow. Wow. Now, what about, you know, people say, gee, that you should get more than $35,000 a year when you've been working 5-6 years at this.
Well, we're non-union, but I got a great compensation.
Okay.
I got a great management. I just spent the first 20 minutes of my day before I started work. I came in early, and I talked to management. I got some questions that I had about my route and about some of the new rules and regulations, how they work. I was able to talk to them, and it feeds my family. It pays my bills. That's all I need.
All right. You know what? Great, great call, and I want to thank you for taking the time to not only listen to us and call, but also for doing the kind of work you're doing.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
You got it. All right. Thanks, Joe. That's Joe from Covington. You're listening to the John Carlson Show here. It is 13 minutes to 9 o'clock. Talk Radio 570 KV. I want to thank and Bradley in Newcastle for taking the time to call and congratulate him because he was caller number 10. He'll be going with us to the KVI Listener Appreciation Bash on May 1st.
News and views you can't get anywhere else. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Eight minutes to 9 o'clock. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Real quickly, let's go to Kevin. We just talked to a paratransit driver. who is not a supporter of Prop 1, even though his company contracts with Metro Transit. Now let's talk to a Metro bus driver. His name is Kevin. He's calling from downtown. Kevin, go for it. Good to have you here on the commute.
Hey, John, how you doing today? You know, I just want to respond to the paratransit operator. You know, we appreciate what they're doing out there, but he made it a little bit sound a little more simple than it is. I mean, a full-time transit operator has to have a commercial driver's license. We have to abide by a rule book that's 3 inches thick. If we make a wrong turn, we do something, an accidental mistake, you know, we're putting our jobs at jeopardy, not only in our personal vehicles, but in our commercial vehicles. And, you know, our pay is pretty good, but, I mean, we live in one of the highest cost of living cities in the country, you know. I mean, no driver can afford to live anywhere close to the downtown bases. And I think just the level of experience and the know-how to operate a bus in downtown city, in a city that's one of the busiest cities in the world, you know, I mean, it's more cut and dry than operating a little van. You know, we're driving buses out here. Not that I agree on Prop 1 or don't agree on it, but, you know, it always seems to go to the driver and I don't think the driver is the problem, and how much the driver is making is the problem, but the say that we should be making $15 an hour versus $30 an hour is hard for me to swallow.
No, I hear your point on that. But while I have you here, candidly tell me about Metro's management and whether you think that they have done a good job of reining in costs.
Well, you know, the nuts and bolts of it, you know, the dollars, cents here or there, I don't know. I don't get those numbers. But all I know is that the driver is not the issue. But management, yeah, I mean, any place can cut management. But I don't think it's – I just get really upset when it's always pointed at the drivers and all the ads, all the, you know, on the radio shows and stuff like that. And I don't think the
– Why do you have a drivers, why do you have a 3-inch rule book?
Well, I've it's tough to drive with us. You know, I mean, our job is always in jeopardy of making a simple mistake. You know, we have a very strict rules and regulations. I'm sure, you know, government likes to regulate things. I guess they like to regulate their employees too. But, you know, it's a stressful job. You know, it's a great job, but we're just not out there, you know.
I talked to a Metro bus driver. Who told me that if there is a disturbance breaks out on Metro bus, the driver is not allowed to call 911. The driver has to call it in, and Metro will decide whether to call 911.
Well, yes, we radio into our coordinator, and our coordinator takes the he has a more of a direct line to the police, so it's probably a faster way of doing it. So I have no problem with that at all. You know, I mean, I feel almost like I'm going to get a little bit faster help than if I can't even use my cell phone when I'm on a bus. That is one of the rules too. You know, so you got to have that thing packed away and not on at all. So,
do you feel safe on your bus?
I have never not felt safe on a bus. To tell you the truth, I feel very comfortable driving a bus.
Okay. The reason I ask is, as I've talked to Metro drivers, and maybe it depends on the route. Of course it depends on the route, who said that she just looks straight ahead, and if people want a transfer, she'll give them one transfer. She'll give them two or three if they want. She doesn't want any trouble, and she wishes there could be one of those, you know, clear plastic shields between the driver and the passengers.
Well, and I think that just goes to whichever person you talk to. I mean, your comfort level of what you're comfortable with. You know, some people are, you know, are oblivious to what's going on around them. Some people are highly aware of every person and what they're capable of doing. I mean, I think it's no different than any other job where you're dealing with the public where, you know, I don't think it's any less safe or any more safe than any other public job.
So how are you going to vote on this?
You know, I'm gonna keep that to myself. You know, I still have my ballot out there. I still haven't decided yet. But you know, it's a tough one, you know, because you do see the management costs. You do see the. I mean, there's more than just King County bus drivers. There's King County management. There's people downtown. There's service. There's all sorts of people. So that's why I was more calling him, because it always goes to the bus driver. and we're the fourth highest paid bus drivers in the nation. You know, it's just, it kind of, it always hits a nerve right there, and I've decided to call in on that one.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to have you here, and that's why I was talking to the councilman, focusing as much on management, because I think that's a very much a contributor to the problem. Hey, thanks very much for calling. I appreciate all you do. I appreciate you listening to the show. I'm back in 20 short hours.
Bye-bye.
Adios. Are you serious?
I am serious. Adios.